What's up, y'all? My name is Alan Sheriff, aka Alan the Sheriff of all things innovative, and this is the ATS Podcast. Here on the ATS Podcast, we talk about all things science, technology, and psychology related, and it's my hope that I'm making the world a better place, one new episode at a time. Quick updates, make sure to go to alanthesheriff.com, and don't forget to check out some of my Apex merch. Now let's get started. Now the first subject is science. Now I read an article from BBC News, and it talks about reducing carbon emissions by using food waste for jet fuel. Now, for some of you, this isn't really surprising because you're probably thinking to yourself, well, we already use biodiesel, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is diesel doesn't work in planes. Now, that's what makes this article so interesting, because look at what these US researchers have found. They found a way to convert the food waste not into diesel, but a type of paraffin that works in jet engines. Now, it also points out that this new fuel has the potential to limit the CO2 that comes from fossil fuel sources used by the airlines, and also gets rid of the methane that would bubble up from landfill if the food waste was just dumped into these areas. Now, this new fuel produces around 34% less soot than current standards. And also, the research team is planning on scaling up the production of the new fuel and aim to have test flights with Southwest Airlines in 2023. I think this is an excellent opportunity for fast food restaurants to partner with these researchers, because most of their food is trash. And I know I'm about to lose the majority of my sponsors right now. I didn't really game them, but potential future sponsors, I know I'm probably going to lose them, but let's keep it real. Like, the fast food industry, I'm not going to act like I'm a saint, okay? I eat fast food, especially when I'm really hungry and I'm tired and I'm driving on the road and stuff like that, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to eat. I need to make chicken. But no, like, I feel like the fast food restaurant industry could really have better, healthier food options. And so I think this is an excellent opportunity for not only to reduce their carbon footprint, but to also help provide healthier food options on their menus. Like, I can literally picture a fast food restaurant right now connecting its hose from its fast food restaurant and connecting it to a jet plane. One dude standing at the other end of the hose to the jet plane says, "Fill her up, please." And then you just start seeing all these employees literally just pushing and just forcing all of these chicken nuggets and fries and burgers down this hose, like, into the tank. Obviously, it doesn't work this way, but it's just a hilarious way to think about it. But nah, yeah, I think that a fuel like this could help with the transition of the aviation industry into, you know, using more renewable forms of energy. Lord knows it's been extremely difficult so far, you know, for the aviation industry to be using battery powered airplanes, because obviously they don't last very long, so it's made things very difficult. But I think a fuel like this could really help with the transition. You know, obviously it is greenwashing, and it mentions that in the article. You know, and greenwashing is basically a way for, you know, an industry to say, hey, you know, we aren't necessarily transitioning into renewable energy because we found a way to, you know, make our operations a lot more greener, you know, by reducing our CO2 emissions in the process. But obviously that's not enough. It's not enough. And we need to be able to make the transition as soon as possible. So I think something like this could help with the transition. But again, at the end of the day, I just feel like it would be futile unless we introduce it as soon as possible. You know, and I know I say that very hastily, but I think it's something really important to take into consideration. Now let's move on to the next subject. Now, I read an article from Wired, and it talks about researchers in Norway and Australia who have created a dog-like machine called Diret, D-Y-R-E-T, Diret, that can shape-shift its body like no other robot to navigate different kinds of terrain. Now, what makes this robot so special is that not only does it set itself apart from Boston Dynamics robots, but that it has the ability to adapt and navigate completely new environments. Now, I know you guys have seen some of the videos of the Boston Dynamics robots where they're doing all these crazy, cool, fun tricks and stuff like that. But like, it's usually just, you know, set on, you know, a flat surface. You know, you see these robots, they're easily able to move themselves around on these surfaces because they're used to it. But this robot in particular uses shifting telescoping legs that improves their stability as they move across different surfaces and boosts their energy efficiency. Now, these robots are trained to walk across surfaces like concrete and gravel, giving the robot prior knowledge of how to best configure its limbs for different types of surfaces. And this article also challenges you to think about the fact that in the future, eight-legged robots could not only time how to move themselves, but when to move themselves. Now, I would definitely adopt one of these dogs for sure if I didn't have to buy them. It'd definitely be a money and time saver. Like, I wouldn't have to walk the thing. Obviously, it knows how to navigate different terrains by itself, so that's already awesome. You know, and it could just take itself outside and do its business. That is, if it has business to be done. I would just hope that nobody would walk up and try to, you know, pet it, because I would assume that these machines would come with razor-sharp teeth. So you'd have someone, so I would hate to see someone experience, you know, getting their arm ripped off or whatever it is, because I would train my dog to be fierce, like, protect me. And like, I just wouldn't want to see, you know, someone go, oh, hey, doggy. Like, there's just like their whole arm is gone. Like, no, let's have none of that. You know, keep your hands away from my dog. But it'd be a really easy way to save money. It wouldn't poop on my bed. It wouldn't pee on my sheets or any of that stuff. Like, it'd just be really easy to take care of. And if it keeps on bugging me, then I'll just stop charging it, obviously. But no, like, I think machine learning has become so impressive. Like, we think about the fact that, you know, machines like this have become so sophisticated that people have figured out how to increase its efficiency of movement just by adding different legs and changing the way these legs are structured and stuff like that. You know, I think of the fact that, you know, robots may not be shaped in our image. You know, they could have, you know, not two legs, but eight legs or 20 legs just because of the sophisticated movement that they would have. And it would also help them move more efficiently. So I think of, you know, when I think of movement, sometimes I think of the castle from Howl's Castle, that movie, you know, and if you just think about how efficiently and effectively it can move around because of this, then, you know, it's pretty interesting to see what the researchers have in store for this in the future. So that's something to definitely keep in mind. And the last subject is psychology. I read an article from Science Daily, and it talks about a new study from the University of Washington that found that an identification with humanity, as opposed to identification with a geographic area like a country or town, predicts whether someone will engage in pro-social behaviors particular to the pandemic. Examples like this can include donating masks or coming to the aid of a sick person. Now, the article points out the researchers created an online study that allowed them to predict people's tendency to want to help others regarding particular scenarios. The findings could have implications for public health messaging during the pandemic, such as appealing to individuals' deep sense of connectedness. And the eventual aim of the study is to use tools from artificial intelligence research and online interactions with humans around the world to understand how one's culture influences social and moral decision making. Now, imagine someone from Antarctica coming up to the United States and saying, yeah, we don't wear masks from, you know, we don't wear masks where I'm from because that's how cold we are. That's how cold inside we are. Like, like, even if it is a joke, I'd punch that dude in the face. Like, this is no time for jokes right now. Like, and that's if anyone is even living in Antarctica. I don't think people live in Antarctica. But no, like, if so, then yeah, I apologize. I don't want to frame them that way. But imagine someone saying that like that. It'd be so messed up. Like, at that point, I wouldn't even consider it a joke. Like, you're getting hit in the face, dude. Like, I'm not playing that. Like, I don't have time for that. We're in a pandemic. Put your mask on, wear some hand sanitizer, and everything would be all right. But no, I kind of feel like this applies to a lot of things, you know, and not just the pandemic. I feel like, you know, when it comes to humanity, I try my best not to put myself in a box or, you know, identify with a particular type of political party or like a particular sports team or, you know, have a certain type of spirituality. I feel like at the end of the day, as long as I'm able to have conversations with many people and not just one thing, not just about one thing in particular, but anything, you know, I feel like I myself have a closer connection to humanity. That's why I sometimes hate people who try to other individuals by saying something along the lines of, oh, you don't watch Game of Thrones? What are you, crazy? Like, who are you? Where have you been these past couple weeks? I've been minding my own business. That's what I've been doing. Leave me alone. Like, but now, I hate it when that happens. I love Game of Thrones, by the way. I watched the entire show in less than like 2 weeks. And that was after all the seasons came out. Like, man, I was literally upstairs in like my school library just going crazy on that show. But nah, yeah, that like last word of advice. Yeah, just put some hand sanitizer on. Keep your masks on, folks, unless, you know, you want to get in trouble or whatever it is. And if you don't want to do that, well, then I'll just consider you an alien and I won't even talk to you. Like, I'll probably figure you're an alien, just like the one in the video in the description that I left. Check that TikTok video out. It's hilarious. Anyway, thanks so much for tuning into my podcast, guys. I really appreciate it. If you like this episode, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And if you're watching this on any of my podcast hosting sites, make sure you either hit that subscribe or that follow button. I greatly appreciate it, and I will see you guys in another episode of the ATS Podcast. Or in other words, I will see you right back here in my doodoo land.